You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, Donald Trump pauses tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports. But what about China? We take a closer look at the US market in 2025. And is Australia's credit rating safe? All that and more next. Hi, everyone. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 4th of February, 2025. Later on the program, is Australia's credit rating safe? S&P Global Ratings' Anthony Walker says there are risks. We'll have more on that soon. But first to the Australian share market, where at first there was a little optimism during the day following President Trump's reprieve on Mexican and Canadian imports after a large 1.8% decline on the ASX 200 yesterday. Shares opened higher this morning, but what investors were really wanting to hear was a similar delay on tariffs on Chinese imports into the US. They didn't get it, so shares gave back those gains, and when the tariffs officially came into effect at the end of the day, there was a push lower. The S&P ASX 200 ending down 0.1% to 8,374. For more on the day's market moves, I spoke with Jonathan Sheed, the head of investments at State Street Global Investors. Jonathan, shares have partly reversed that huge sell-off we saw here in Australia yesterday following Trump's delay in imposing tariffs on Mexico and Canada. The market's still waiting to hear about whether it'll happen with China too. But what does that say about just how reactionary investors are to this new US administration?
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is that there's kind of nothing new here in one respect. So we've known for a long time that tariffs and immigration are going to be part of this current administration. So I think it was really the size of the announcements that perhaps caught the market slightly by surprise. But the actual themes of immigration and tariffs are kind of not new. So on the one hand, I think, you know, you don't want to underestimate that threat as an investor. You know, the US is quite different to the rest of the world. If you look at their how important imports are to their GDP, the US is a much more closed economy and well diversified. They're less reliant on trade than countries like Canada or Mexico or the EU or Australia for that matter. I think what surprised me is how muted the market response has been relative to the kind of political headlines. And yeah, sure, you know, markets moved down a couple of percent and then clawed some of that back. We had a similar kind of move in currencies for the Canadian dollar and for the peso and also for the Aussie dollar. But moves of 1 or 2% against those kind of headlines to me felt fairly muted. So I think maybe markets are either thinking this isn't going to happen in a big way, or they're thinking maybe it's not going to have a dramatic impact on inflation longer term. It's kind of hard to tell.
I know you don't necessarily have a crystal ball, right? But how do you see this playing out when it comes to tariffs? Because at the moment, it would appear that it is a bit of a negotiating tool, given that we're seeing this delay in tariffs for Canada and Mexico by about a month.
Yeah, it's hard to tell how much of it is a negotiating tool. I mean, I would be surprised if the administration is unaware of the impact on American households. You know, certainly talk about inflation over 22 to 24 played a large part of political discourse last year, and the administration will be certainly very, very well aware of that. I think you would be brave to say that tariffs are not going to play a big part in 2025. They clearly will. But at the moment, trying to work out the scale of that, how much of that is a negotiating tool, or how much of it is actually trying to find a way to mend the fiscal balance sheet for the US federal government is the other factor that may come into play. I mean, stepping back, looking back from all the headlines, you know, we still think that there are disinflationary forces at play in the US. And so the market is trying to grapple how to deal with those disinflationary forces with announcements like this on tariffs.
How do you think this will ultimately impact Australia?
It's hard to see it being good for Australia, I think it would be fair to say. And we've certainly seen that reflected in the news. I think the talk about tariffs on particular sectors as well perhaps hasn't caught quite as much of the headlines, but pharmaceuticals, steel, aluminium, copper, those kind of announcements on tariffs, I think were very significant for Australia. The fact that we don't have the US has a trade surplus with us rather than deficit, and the strength of our defence ties may help. I think perhaps for Australia, the flow through effects from what may or may not happen with China are perhaps as big, if not bigger, than the direct impacts, I think, on Australia's relationship with the US. So that's a tough one to call, but I would be watching what happens with China in terms of the impact on Australia.
So there's China, but what about one thing that impacts investments globally, and that's interest rates? Does Trump risk central bank moves to start cutting interest rates, both not just in the US, but potentially in Australia?
That's a great question. And given how quickly the headlines have changed in the last sort of 48 hours, we actually haven't changed our view on interest rates over short term, over 2025. We still think there are a few cuts to come from the Fed at some point this year. We still think there are a few cuts to come from the RBA at some point this year. Whether we see a pause while we wait for the policy situation to settle, I think that's probably not surprising. But I think one of the things that surprised me a little bit was how muted the bond market reaction was to these announcements. You know, if you wind back the clock sort of 3 years, when 10-year yields in both the US and Australia were something like 1.5%, maybe a little bit more than 1.5%, we get inflation and those yields jump to more like 4.5%. That's a huge move, reflecting a dramatic change in inflation. Now, the last week, we haven't seen anything like that at the long end of either the US bond market curve or the Australian bond market curve. And that suggests that the market is still very much a wait and see on inflation, and by implication, moving more shorter term, perhaps a little bit more of a wait and see on rates as well.
So what does this all mean then for your outlook for equity investments, equity markets in both Australia and the US, investments in 2025? And have you had to change the way you've had to invest as a result too?
At the moment, we haven't changed our central thesis. So going back late last year, we took a view that the US equity market was still a good place to be compared to the rest of the world. Very pro-growth stature within the US economy, highly profitable companies, what looks like a continuing strong US dollar. So we have liked the US economy, and nothing in the last month or so has significantly shifted that view. I think it'd be fair to say that we do like broadening out in the US. So maybe looking at smaller cap names rather than just the very largest names in the US for a few reasons. Small business optimism is really picking up in the US. There's a little bit more cyclical companies in the US, and certainly the high valuations on some very large US mega cap names has been noted by many. So I think we still like the US equity market at the moment. Emerging markets is another area where they've disappointed investors for many, many years. We think it may be time to start looking at emerging markets again. A strong US dollar is probably the biggest headwind at this point, but there's some favorable monetary cycles and economic signals from some parts of emerging markets, perhaps excluding China, that we quite like the look of. Maybe smaller names in emerging markets that are less exposed to the US dollar or geopolitical trends might be an area that's of interest. And then the final area I would think is the long end of the bond curve at 4.5% to 5%, with inflation dropping down to 2.5% to 3%. Looks pretty attractive. Obviously, there's risk associated with that. And I think if I compare 2024 to 2025, we've got much wider uncertainty about the economic outlook for 2025 than we had for 2024. But we think that at that kind of 4.5% to 5%, that looks like quite a nice entry point for longer-durated fixed income investments. So that's the sorts of investments that we like. There are clearly risks. And so some of those assets that you might include to help provide a bit of a hedge, things like gold, things like for Australian investors, foreign currency exposure, things like maybe commodities, those sort of hedging assets, I think also have a place to play in 2025.
That's Jonathan Sheed there from State Street Global Advisors. Now, a closer look at Australia, and a number of Australian states risk a downgrade to their credit rating as analysts question the strength of financial management on a global scale. Ratings agency S&P Global says while the various credit ratings of Western Australia, Queensland, South Australia and Victoria remain stable, the outlook for the AA+ ratings of New South Wales, Tasmania and the ACT are still negative following a revision late last year. For more, I spoke with S&P Global Ratings' Anthony Walker, a credit analyst there. Anthony, to what extent do you believe state budgets are weakening, and are there real risks to their credit ratings?
There are real risks to downgrades of a number of state credit ratings. This is because many states have been unable to control their spending, particularly since the pandemic. Many have failed to return their budgets to pre-pandemic positions, and debt across all states, with the exception of Western Australia, continues to rise rapidly. Several states, for example, are still running large cash operating deficits 4 or 5 years after the pandemic, which means they're borrowing to pay everyday bills, not just to invest in infrastructure.
Can we go into a bit more detail, perhaps, as to which states in particular are seeing the biggest risks and why?
We believe New South Wales, the ACT and Tasmania are most at risk at this stage. Last year, New South Wales delayed the narrowing of its fiscal cash deficit, which includes infrastructure spending, to 2028. That was originally planned to happen in 2024, and it just hasn't done it. The ACT, for example, is still struggling to have a consistent operating surplus 5 years after the pandemic. Tasmania, again, is heading back into cash deficits this year. And we are also seeing Tasmania's debt potentially rising faster than every other state over the forward estimates. So they're the three that we're mostly focused on this year. Queensland, they did release their mid-year budget last week. That has shown a substantial deterioration, something we're keeping a close eye on. We believe there's a big political narrative in that mid-year budget, and we do think that the June budget will be much better, but that's the fourth state we're kind of keeping our eye on this year.
So if we, for example, focus on the three where there are risks right to their credit ratings, what are the implications if there are downgrades to their credit ratings?
Yeah, the immediate impact would be higher interest costs. For instance, interest costs are already high. They're at $20 billion per year. That's enough to fund the entire South Australian's health, education and social program in its budget this year. So when you're looking at it, Victoria and Queensland, for example, are forecasting already the tripling of their interest costs over the forward estimates. That's because of their pure borrowing levels. That's got nothing to do with S&P or any credit rating actions.
And finally, how does the national credit rating compare, and is Australia's AAA credit rating safe?
Yeah, we still have Australia at the gold standard AAA with a stable outlook. That means it's safe at the moment. We're not expecting to change it. The biggest risk to the AAA is higher spending, not just at the federal government level, but also the state spending. What this means is if revenues do recede at some point in the future, at the same time the economy slows and commodity prices fall, we could see a blowout in the deficits that the Commonwealth is forecasting, and that could be much more than we're currently expecting. It's not our expectation, and that's why we still have the AAA credit rating.
That is Anthony Walker there from S&P Global Ratings. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts from, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and to subscribe.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.